Our lesson this morning and the one tonight are both completely different, but they're both a result of, well, tonight's is a result of a question, and this morning is a result of a request for some help on how to deal with this particular subject that we're going to be looking at and noticing. So we're going to be talking this morning about being happy. And Terry asked me if I was going to sing the song, and I remember the song, but I couldn't even tell you how it started. And plus, no, I would never sing the song. And but we're going to be talking about, here's the question. Does God want us to be happy? Yes. And we're going to look at verses that show exactly that. But there are some who base their decisions on what to do in life on the basis that God just wants me to be happy. And that is the question of how do you respond to that? So let's take a look and go through some passages in the Bible, and then we're going to come to this idea that's pretty prevalent today and take a look at it and see exactly what we need to be thinking about, what we need to understand. Be happy. In the book of Psalm, chapter 68, verse 3, most of these are going to be from the New International Version. You'll find that if you're reading from a different translation, the word happy will most likely not be there. It will be a word that is associated with the idea of joy, or a word that is associated with the idea of cheerfulness. But in the New International Version, a lot of times with these verses, instead of the word joyful or joyous or cheerful, you will find the word happy. And so we'll read these verses and let's take a look at them. But may the righteous be glad and rejoice before God. May they be happy and joyful. And then in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 12, I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live. That sounds pretty close to the idea that some are basing their lives upon. But you see, there's a little different meaning. And even as we go through the book of Ecclesiastes, we're going to see that in a moment. Moreover, when God gives someone wealth and possessions and the ability to enjoy them, to accept their lot and be happy in their toil, this is a gift of God. No, certainly it is. To enjoy what you do in life, to enjoy the work that you're doing in life, and to be happy in your life, that's a gift from God. When times are good, be happy. But when times are bad, consider this. God has made one as well as the other. Therefore, no one can discover anything about their future. Job says the same thing. Shall we just receive good things from God and not bad? And when his wife wanted him to kill himself as a result of the bad that was going on, he said, you talk like one of the foolish women. Do we just accept the good things and not the bad? Or do we honor God in every situation in life? And then this one. You who are young, be happy while you are young. And let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eyes see. But know that for all of these things, God will bring you into judgment. You will be held accountable for what you do and for how you're living your life when you're striving to be happy and doing whatever you see. This is what the Lord Almighty says. The fast. I'm going to have to stop here for a minute. This is in the reading that Eric read for us just a moment ago. And I want to tell you what's in these verses, what's in this verse. There are three different words for joy or happiness. But all of them come out of three or four different festivals. The one for the fourth month, the fifth month, the seventh month, and the tenth month. And I noticed that when Eric read from his translation, the word fast is used each time before each of the months. In the NIV, it's only used once. And if you're not a careful reader, you can read through this and read, instead of fast, you can read feast. And translate into your mind festival. But the word is there, and it's the word fast. What does fast mean? It means to deprive yourself. It means to deny yourself something you desire. Deny yourself something that you're wanting. Your body is hungry, it desires food, but you fast. You deny it. And so understanding that and not overlooking that word, now we read the verse. This is what the Lord Almighty says. The fast of the 4th, 5th, 7th, and 10th months will become joyful and glad occasions and happy festivals for Judah. Therefore, love truth and peace. Even denying myself can become a joyous thing. Even denying myself and refusing to give in to what I want or what I crave or what I desire can become a time of happiness and joy. Yes, it can. Therefore, in order to obtain that, love truth and love peace. Follow God's will. That's God's prescription for being happy. This is what the Lord Almighty said. I'm sorry. I read that one. The next one. By all this, we are encouraged. In addition to our own encouragement, we were especially delighted to see how happy Titus was, because his spirit has been refreshed by all of you. Titus came back from visiting the church at Corinth and brought Paul a report. He also bought Paul gifts from the church at Corinth. Paul said, we were greatly encouraged by what you gave for us. But even more than that, seeing the joy and the happiness in Titus as a result of being with you and seeing your continued faithfulness, we were all refreshed and encouraged by that. Is anyone among you in trouble? Then let him pray. Is anyone happy? Then let him sing songs of praise to God. How do you do that? How do you be happy? Psalm chapter 1 is one of those passages where God outlines for us the prescription for being happy and what it's going to mean, what's going to be involved in us becoming happy. It's one of those passages that starts with the word blessed. The word blessed can be translated and sometimes is translated, oh, the happiness of. When Jesus gave the Beatitudes, blessed are you. Sometimes there's translation that will say, instead of blessed, they will say, oh, the happiness of. This is the pathway to happiness. We're not going to read all of Psalm 1, even though it's only 6 verses. But just notice the prescription of what's happening. Blessed is the one who does not walk in the steps of the wicked, and who does not stand in the way of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of the company. Or sits in the company of those that are mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. God knows how he made us. And he knows that if we constantly and continually give in to what we want to do, we go deeper and deeper into a state of misery. We go deeper and deeper into a state of unhappiness. We go deeper and deeper into a state of being unaccepted by those who see from the outside how much we are hurting ourselves. But when we delight in the law of the Lord, we do his will, the result is going to be joy and happiness and peace. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 16, I want you to turn with me and read it. Because there's a danger that all of us face, and a danger that we all need to be aware of. And it's in the statement that Peter makes in connection with Paul. He starts off by talking about Paul, and all of his writings talks about the events and the things and getting people ready for the second coming of Jesus Christ. But then he goes into this statement in connection with Paul, and he has this to say in verse 16. Paul writes the same way in all of his letters, speaking in them of these matters of the second coming of Christ and being ready for it. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, really. Tell us something we don't know. But his letters contain things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort. Now, if the shoe fits, I'm not the one calling you ignorant and unstable. It is Peter. And if the shoe fits with me, it is Peter, through the Holy Spirit, calling me ignorant and unstable. But not only do they twist or distort Paul's letters and Paul's writings, they twist and distort the scriptures. Twist and distort means to misrepresent words to a false meaning. It means to use the words that God has used, but to twist them to a meaning that God never intended. And that is the idea of distorting and twisting. It's taking what God has said and then twisting it into something completely different. Here are the lies. Here are just a few. Matter of fact, it's only two or three that we're going to list. But the Bible is full of them. Full of examples of how people take what God has said and they twist it and they turn it. The first one, you will not surely die. That was the devil's statement to Adam and Eve. Do you understand what Eve then did? She looked at the fruit and she saw, it looks good to me. She looked at the fruit and said, it looks like something that will make me wise. It looks like something that would be beneficial to me and my family. Can you imagine what would come next in her mind? What would come next in her mind would be, God would want me to take part in what's good. God would want me to take part in what would help me to become wiser. And God would want me and my entire family to take part in what would be good for us. Therefore, she ignored what God said and did what she thought would make her happy. Does God just want us to be happy? We'll see this. Attack. The Lord will give it into your hands. This first was spoken by the false prophets of Ahab. When Micaiah, who was in prison, was sent for because the king of Israel said, well, I hear these 400 prophets you've got that are all yes men and that are all saying exactly what you want to be said, but isn't there anybody in your kingdom that speaks for God anymore? And Ahab said, there's one, but I don't like him because he never says what I want him to say. He never says the things that I want him to say to me. And the king of Israel said, don't let the king of Judah, don't let the king of Israel talk like that. Let's get him. So they send for Micaiah, and the guy that goes and gets him says to Micaiah on their way to Ahab, whatever the king wants you to say, say it. All 400 of his prophets have already said it. So why don't you for one time be in agreement with them? And Micaiah says, whatever the Lord says, I will say. And when they walk in, Ahab says to Micaiah, okay, Micaiah, we want to go do battle. What do you say? And Micaiah says, go, attack. The Lord will be with you. But he says it in such a way that Ahab knows that he's being facetious. And so Ahab then says to him, how many times do I have to tell you to tell me what God says? And then Micaiah says, okay, I'll tell you what God says. You go into that battle, you won't ever come back. You go into that battle, you're a dead man. You go into that battle, and you will lose your life. And that's exactly what happens. But here is a king who just wanted to be happy. And here is a king who surrounded himself with people who would tell him what he wanted to hear. And that's what he was doing. I know the Lord just wants me to be happy. And whenever you hear that, you have to stop and think, really? In what sense is that the case? If that is the case, that God just wants me to be happy, then what was Jesus talking about? What was he talking about when he said, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me? What was he talking about when he said, if you love father or mother more than me, you're not worthy of me. If you love your own life more than me, you're not worthy of me. What was he talking about in Matthew 10, 37 through 39, when he talked about us being faithful to him in everything that we do and in everything that we say? What is he talking about the wise man and the foolish man? The wise man building his house on the rock because he listens to what God says and he does it. And the foolish man building his house on the sand because he doesn't do what God says, even though he knows it. And he knows what God would have him to do. He totally ignores it. And he does instead what he wants to do. And in Matthew 10, 37 through 39, anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their own son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it. Whoever does in their life what they want to do will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. What does he mean by that? And how does that fit in with the idea God just wants me to be happy? What about the Garden of Gethsemane? When Jesus is praying to God, if there's any way, let this cup pass from me. But not my will, but your will be done. What's the Garden of Gethsemane all about? If all God wanted from Jesus was for Jesus to be happy. And for being happy to mean Jesus did whatever he wanted to do. Do your children live by this rule? You didn't have the parents I had. If your children live by this rule, and you're not the parents that I had, can you imagine your children knowing full well, all my parents want is for me to be happy. So whatever I want to do, I will do. 10-year-old walking through sees the car keys. There's the car keys. Is it okay for me to drive the car? Well, I don't even have to ask, because mom and dad, all they want is for me to be happy. And so they take the car keys out and they drive. And we're getting silly about this. But the question is almost silly in itself. Not the question, but the statement. Because we don't raise children this way. We don't raise ourselves this way. You don't run a company this way. We don't do things just so everybody will be happy. There's a higher standard than just everybody's personal choice and personal wish and personal desire. Do you understand what idolatry is? Do you know what idolatry means? Is our country full of idolatry? Yes. Well, show me the idols. Okay. Look in the mirror. And there it is. Our country is overcome with idolatry. God wants me to be happy. What does that mean? It means this. God is not concerned about me following his will. He just wants me to do what I want to do. That's what it means when a person says, God just wants me to be happy. That means, I've looked at this and thought about it, and I understand God is not concerned about me following his will and denying myself. What God wants is for me to do whatever I want to do. That means I am the God. And God's thoughts are exactly my thoughts. And God's desire for me is whatever I desire for me. And so I am the God. And there is our idol. One last verse, and it's not on the screen, but I want you to turn with me and I want you to read it. It's in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, and it's verses 1 through 4. And I want you to read with me, and I want you to think about these four verses. We're going to raise some questions very quickly as we go through them. But Ephesians chapter 2, starting 1 through 4, listen to what Paul says. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. Okay, Paul, what were my transgressions and sins? In those transgressions and sins, you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Oh, now wait a minute, Paul. I don't follow everybody else. I don't follow the crowd. I don't do everything that everybody else is doing. I'm not concerned about what everybody thinks about me. And I don't follow the crowd. I'm not that kind of person. Really? Do you not know what those other folks are doing? Next verse. All of us who lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh. What's the spirit of the world? Do what you want to do. Live for yourself. Do what makes you happy. Live in keeping with what you want to do in gratifying whatever desires you might have. In gratifying whatever you might want to do and gratify your flesh, your physical life, your physical body. And following its desires and thoughts. Following the desires of my life, myself. Following the desires of my own heart, my own desires, my flesh. And following my own thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath because we ignored the Creator and we make ourselves the God. We make ourselves the determining factor in what ought to control this life. I control it because it's my life. I'll do whatever I desire. I'll do whatever I want. I'll do whatever I please. And Paul says, at that point, when we were doing that, we were dead. We were dead in our trespasses and in our sins. But that's exactly what's meant by God just wants me to be happy. Which means God just wants me to do what I want to do instead of listening to what He says to do. But because of His great love, because of the great love that He has for us, because of the rich mercy that He has, He paid for all of our sins. And through faith in Jesus Christ, we can be forgiven of all of our sins, even this one, the one that causes us to be dead to Him. The next time you're tempted to think, as our whole world wants us to think, just be happy. Just do what you want to do. Do what you think is best. Am I going to bow to the idol? Or is the idol going to submit to God and bow to Him? Are you in Christ? Do you need to come home to Christ? Do you need to be baptized into Him? His invitation is yours. As together we stand and as we sing.